This morning, our speaker is Roger Clary. Roger is Professor Emeritus at Chicago's Roosevelt University in the College of Arts and Sciences, Department of Computer Science and Information Technology. He is a member of UUFM and an active volunteer. He will be speaking today on the topic scalability. Let's welcome Roger Clary.
Well, I'm a little nervous. I haven't done one of these talks in quite a while, so here we go. Scalability, and then : why projects fail. My background is in computer science and information technology. So we will start there and then expand to other far-flung and interesting endeavors. What do we mean by scale? How big or how small something is the scale. Usually scale starts with some reference point. I have model trains, and they are in the scale 1 to 29. This means that a 29-inch real world is 1 inch on the model train. A 50-foot boxcar in the real life is about 1 foot 9 inches on the trains. The 1977 film made by the Charles and Ray Eames for IBM called Powers of 10 takes you on an incredible scale journey, starting with a person on a picnic in Grant Park in Chicago, going up by a factor of 10 in incremental steps, zooming up to Chicago, then Illinois, then the United States, then the solar system. It goes up to include the whole universe, and then back down in size to atoms and below atoms. Does all this in 9 minutes of time. So next time you're on YouTube, check out Powers of 10. Now last week, Rabbi Rami Shapiro talked about Kenneth Patton, the UU minister that had the Andromeda Galaxy on the front of the Charles Street Meeting House. That's why I have M31 right here for you to look at today. Okay. Want to feel small? Take a look at this great picture of M31. Thank Carol Sue for a great printing job. She took that with her Brownie camera last night. The Andromeda Galaxy is the nearest major galaxy to our Milky Way home. Andromeda is a spiral galaxy like ours. It's 2.5 million light years away. It has 1 trillion stars. It's bigger than our Milky Way galaxy. A recent German supercomputer simulation estimates that the total number of galaxies may be as high as 500 billion. That's mind-boggling. Back to scale. 24 inches on this picture, kind of like a diagonal, equals 260,000 light years. What a scale. Okay, scale has to do with size. We see it on maps all the time. But what about scalability? Formal definitions would say scalability is a desired property of a system which indicates its ability to grow easily and handle more work. And a service is said to be scalable if, when you increase the system resources, an increase in performance is proportional to the resources added. I would say scalability is the ability to make things bigger, and I would also add smaller, easily. Now, computer people spend a lot of time thinking about and planning for scalability. You build your web page on your home computer, and it gets 10 hits a day. No problem. 10 hits an hour. No problem. 10 hits per minute. Some congestion. Some slowing down. 10 hits per second. Problems. 100 hits per second and your system crashes. In olden days when IBM sold iron computers by the ton, you could buy one for a ton of money. The original System 360 ranged in price from $133,000 to $5.5 million. And that's in 1964 dollars. About $2 million if you wanted to do more than just balance your checkbook. That's a 20, $1,000 monthly rental fee. The cost to get in was high. The cost to upgrade was high. Not scalable. Enter the PC. That's personal computer. And computer hardware became scalable. Buy one. Buy two. Buy 50. Buy 100 PCs. Google, our friend Google, has about 1,800,000 computer servers. So that's quite good. It's why it's so quick. But hardware is not software. Software has scalability problems. If you plan a small software project, that's one costing less than $750,000, then your chance of success is about 75%. If your hardware project is going to cost $2 million, then your chance of success is about 37%. A $10 million project or bigger has a less than 7% chance of success. Pretty grim. In the landmark 1995 study, the Standish Group estimated that only 17% of information technology projects could be considered fully successful. Another 52% were challenged. That means they didn't meet budget, or they didn't meet the quality or the time goals, or possibly all three. And a full 30% were impaired or just outright failed. Some examples of failures. The FBI Virtual Case Filed, VCF system, started in June 2001 as a 36-month project to develop a system for tracking criminal cases. The FBI spent about $170 million over 4 years before concluding that VCF wasn't going to work. More than 25 years ago, the IRS launched a business system modernization program to replace the master file system, parts of which dated back to the Kennedy administration. That's when I was in college. By 1995, after 8 years and $2 billion, the agency told Congress it had made only marginal improvements. In 1999, an IRS assistant commissioner called the modernization program a $3.3 billion failure and said most of the technology did not work. At that point, the agency was ready to start over with a new $5 billion program. Certainly, the Federal Aviation Administration's Advanced Automation System, AAS project, dwarfs even the largest corporate information technology fiascos in terms of dollars. For example, Kmart had a $130 million write-off on its supply chain system. That's just chump change compared with the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA ultimately declared $1.5 billion worth of hardware and software out of the $2.6 billion spent was useless. Majority of large IT projects fail to meet deadlines, are over budget, and don't make the users happy. Such was the case with healthcare.gov. Remember that? Healthcare.gov's problems included site availability due to excessive loads, incorrect data records, complex back-end interfaces to private insurance companies, among other things. President Barack Obama said, quote, "There's no excuse for problems at the site." But his IT advisors shouldn't be surprised. The success rate for large multi-million dollar commercial and government IT projects is very low. CGI, the company responsible for healthcare.gov, had done work in the healthcare arena, and not all of it good. Its performance on the Ontario, Canada's Healthcare Medical Registry for Diabetic Sufferers was so poor that officials ditched the project after spending $46 million and wasting 3 years. To my amazement, healthcare.government got fixed really quick. They brought some people that knew what they were doing, I guess. Roger Session, an IT guru, summarizes IT scalability this way. In software, size matters in a bad way. Don't worry about how to manage large projects. They are unmanageable. Worry about how to split up large projects into smaller projects. This is much easier said than done. Don't worry about how to manage small projects because it's really hard to mess them up. This got me to thinking about scalability in other fields and endeavors. Electronic things scale nicely, both up and down. Computer processor chips have billions of transistors, but they're only the size of a small cookie. Advanced Micro Devices has nifty names for their processors, like Trinity, Bulldozer, and Zen. For about $100, you can get a billion transistors. And even more amazing to me, the Xbox toys, they have, Xbox has got 5 billion transistors in the toy. Wow. Now televisions, they scale up from 10 inches to 80 inches or more. Not big enough for you? How about a Sony 10 by 13 foot Jumbotron? Not big enough. How about the Mitsubishi Electric Diamond Vision scoreboard at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium? The width is 159 feet. The height is 71 feet. The screen area is 11,393 square feet. It's got over 10 million LEDs in it. Power consumption is 635 kilowatts. I don't think you want to put it in your home, though. It weighs 170,000 pounds. How about dogs? They scale nicely from the smallest Chihuahua to the largest English Mastiff. Now, a Mastiff is a dog that can go up to 240 pounds for the large males. That's big. How about cars? The 1957 BMW Isetta was really small. The Isetta was designed and first built by Reneo Rivolta, a refrigerator manufacturer. The two-passenger 1957 BMW Isetta microcar is very fuel-efficient, getting 45 miles per gallon, and was capable of 53 miles per hour. The rear-mounted BMW 4-stroke 295cc one-cylinder engine had 13 horsepower. Now, if you could find one of these and fix it up, today you can get about $40,000 for that car. On the big size, the 1975 Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham, 19 and a half feet long, 500 cubic inch displacement on the Eldorado engine, making 4,000 horsepower. This Cadillac car is 2.5 tons of beauty and gets 10.1 miles per gallon on a good day. When Edison was fighting the electric wars with the Tesla Westinghouse people, Edison lost because DC power was not scalable at the time. DC would require an electric generation station every mile. On November 16, 1896, in Buffalo, New York was lit up by alternating current from Niagara Falls, 25 miles away. Today, AC power traverses all of North America. Stuff is generally scalable. You can get tiny houses, less than 800 square feet. You can get gargantuan trucks. You can get big airplanes. Now, I need a segue here, but I don't have one, so I'm just going to jump. Musical instruments can suffer from scalability problems. The violin is the perfect size for the tonal range, and it makes make it bigger like a viola, cello, or double bass, and these, quote, bigger violins don't have the punch or clarity of a violin. The website Grolier's Music says that 99.5% of basses on the planet are really three-quarter size. And it also mentions that 74.38% of all statistics are made up on the spot. Now, I don't quite understand this, but a full-size double bass is actually 7/8 size. I think it would be 8/8, but it's only 7/8. Well, the piano has changed. Over time, the tonal range of the piano was increased from the 5 octaves during Mozart's day to the 7-plus range found on modern pianos. The very high notes still don't sound piano-like, especially on cheap or beat-up pianos. Mass communication has been scaled up from handwritten scrolls to the printing press, then radio and TV, and now the internet. From slow to fast, from expensive to cheap, from producer push to consumer pull. Need to communicate with 2 people or 2 million people. The internet is the way to do it. Education sometimes has problems with scalability because success in one classroom may be difficult to apply to the whole school. Methods that work in some schools may not work for the whole system. A case in point, remember new math? I know you'd like to forget it. But it seems that it's so good when it was tested in the lab schools in the United States. Lab schools were part of universities. And lab schools had young, energetic math teachers who loved things like set theory and Boolean logic. But it turned out to be a fiasco for everybody else. It was a big jump for regular teachers, parents, and especially the kids. I had a thought experiment, kind of like Einstein, but not that good. Okay, if there's one hungry person in Murfreesboro, you can buy them lunch. 100 hungry people, then start a food bank. Feeding all the hungry people in Tennessee, big problem. Feeding a hungry nation like Syria may be impossible. When you think of a solution to some problem that seems plausible, stop and ask, is it scalable? Are there large projects that work? Well, yes, and our government has done some really big ones in the past. Social Security, the Tennessee Valley Authority, the Interstate Highway System, Medicare, and the Hoover Dam. Some big non-government people projects have also succeeded. Take the Roman Catholic Church. Anyway, a worldwide organization with many centuries of existence. Church membership in 2011 was 1.2 billion. That's 17.5% of the world population. How was this managed? The Catholic Church divides the task into 2,795 dioceses, and the dioceses are divided into parishes. The principle of dividing up big projects into more manageable chunks does wonders. What does this Catholic Church stuff matter to me? After all, I'm a UU. In 2002, the Catholic healthcare system oversaw 625 hospitals in the United States with a combined revenue of $30 billion. This comprised the nation's largest group of nonprofit hospital systems. And by 2008, the cost of running these hospitals had risen to $84.5 billion, 5.7 of which the church donates. According to Catholic Health Associations of the United States, the Catholic health care system admits 1 in every 6 patients nationwide. Thank you, Catholic Church and St. Thomas of Rutherford County. What about UUism? Is this scalable? Why isn't everybody a UU like Thomas Jefferson predicted? First, UU is a personal journey. Yes, other UUs can help with ideas, resources, and feedback. UUFM, that's us, can try to reach out and help you in your journey, but there are no easy magic methods. What works great in Hinsdale, Illinois, or Houston, Texas, may not fit well in Murfreesboro or the Boone Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in North Carolina. UU content may be scalable. I checked out the Church of the Larger Fellowship. They have a website, and the Church of the Larger Fellowship is a website for people that don't have churches around or people that want something more than what their churches are giving them. Somebody must be watching this website. They claim almost 2 million viewer minutes. Locally, our group uses Facebook a lot. So if you want to find out what's happening to someone, like Barbara, we find out instantly by Facebook. Now, community is another matter. How can you scale up a friendly hello? The interactions of a group, a cup of coffee or tea. Laughter is much better in a real group. Think of yourself. You are a member or friend of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Murfreesboro. You may participate in the men's group, the women's group, or the humanist group. The UUFM is part of a regional association, also part of a national association. Do you get your UU World magazine? If you don't, talk to our people. Anyway, there's also a service committee, the UUSC. You may not be familiar with their programs, like the UUSC's Economic Justice Program for Workers' Rights and Living Wages, and the UUSC Program Promotion of the Right Human Right to Water. You are part of a much larger UU aggregation, more larger than you may actually be aware of. So what is the essence of this speech? What is the real point of action? Just this. Sometimes it's not easy to take a small part of something that make it work well for the whole system. Think. Now, think is a motto coined by Thomas J. Watson in December 1911 while managing sales and advertising departments at the National Cash Register Company. Later transferred to IBM, both Thomas and the motto. If you think about problems, then think about the solutions to these problems and keep in mind scalability. That's it. Thank you for listening.